Imagine for a second that you are standing in a crowded transit hub.
Oh, that's already stressful.
Right. Just hundreds of people rushing past, announcements blaring, bags rolling over Kyle, and you look down at your phone for 2 seconds to check a train schedule.
Just 2 seconds.
Literally 2 seconds. You look back up, and the person you're traveling with is just gone.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
We all know that sudden, terrifying drop in the pit of your stomach, you know? Now, take that feeling and compound it. Imagine the person you're looking for is autistic, perhaps nonverbal, and highly prone to wandering off or eloping.
Right, which completely changes the situation.
Exactly. The stakes in that moment, they don't just escalate, they completely alter your reality.
It's a scenario that keeps, frankly, thousands of caregivers awake at night. And if you look at the data in this 2026 AngelSense guide we're diving into today,
Which is a fantastic resource, by the way.
it really is. The data shows that nearly half of all autistic children will attempt to wander or elope from a safe environment at some point. Half. I mean, when you are dealing with a coin flip probability on a literal life or death safety issue, you need a systemic solution, not just, a quick fix.
Which is exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We are looking at a really crucial intersection of family safety and modern 2026 wearable technology.
Yeah, it's a critical topic.
So we're pulling from this extensive, newly updated guide on the best GPS autism trackers. But to be clear with you listening right now, our mission today isn't to just rattle off a spec sheet.
No, nobody wants to hear us read a manual.
Right. We want to cut through the marketing noise and figure out how you actually match this life-saving tech with the highly unique, heavily sensory specific needs of an autistic individual.
Because that matching process is everything.
It is, because standard consumer tracking, it's basically like having a "you are here" sticker on a mall directory. It's static. Or, it's like a traditional smoke detector. It only goes off when the house is already fully engulfed in flames and you're in crisis mode.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
But the specialized tech we're looking at today, it acts more like having a proactive digital guardian angel or a smart thermal sensor. It detects that the stove has been left on and alerts you before the fire even starts.
And that distinction, that shift between reactive and proactive design, is the entire ball game here.
Yeah.
If we look at the underlying anatomy of how these trackers actually function, I mean, they're fundamentally using the same global positioning system network that powers the maps on your dashboard.
Right, the same satellites.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the standard has been ruthlessly adapted to solve for human unpredictability.
Okay, let's unpack this. How is it adapted? Because the mechanics here are really fascinating.
We'll take the refresh rate, for instance.
Okay.
If you're tracking a missing Amazon package, an update every hour is totally fine. But when you're tracking a wandering child on foot,
A 5-minute delay is an eternity.
right, a 5-minute delay means they could be blocks away, or across a busy intersection, or near a body of water.
Yeah.
So the top-tier systems now force the internal modem to ping the network every 30 seconds, the moment the wearer is in motion.
Wow, every 30 seconds?
Yes. And the physical environment also dictates the engineering. GPS relies on microwave signals transmitting from satellites in orbit, right?
Yeah, way up there.
Right. So the moment the wearer walks into a dense structure like a concrete school building or a shopping mall, those signals are absorbed or scattered.
The device loses line of sight.
Exactly. And a standard tracker just goes dark. To solve this, a dedicated autism tracker performs an instant indoor handover.
An indoor handover. Okay, explain that.
So the moment the satellite signal degrades, the device's secondary chips fire up. They start scraping the environment for local Wi-Fi router, MEC addresses, and Bluetooth beacons.
And to be clear for you listening, it doesn't actually log into those Wi-Fi networks, right?
No, not at all. It just sees them, references their known physical locations in a global database, and triangulates the wearer's position indoors.
That's incredibly smart. So instead of just vanishing from your screen when they walk through the mall doors, the dot keeps moving down the concourse.
Exactly. And furthermore, we have to talk about how AI has completely transformed geofencing.
Oh, yeah, geofencing is huge in this guide.
Right. So a geofence is a virtual perimeter. You draw around a safe zone, like a school. In the past, you had to manually draw pins on a map.
Which is tedious.
Very. But now, the onboard processors aggregate weeks of location pings, they apply clustering algorithms, and build a predictive heat map of the wearer's life.
Wow.
Yeah. If it's Tuesday at 10 a.m., the system just knows the wearer should be within the coordinates of the high school. If they breach that invisible boundary, the system pushes a high priority alert to your phone before you even know to look.
Okay, wait, hold on. Let me push back on this a little bit. If you and I already have smartphones in our pockets, right? With sophisticated location tracking, AI capabilities, SOS features built right into the operating system, why on earth do we need a dedicated piece of hardware for this? Aren't we just reinventing the wheel and taking on another expensive monthly data plan?
What's fascinating here is that you have to think about the cognitive and operational load a smartphone demands.
Okay.
It requires constant user compliance. You have to remember to plug it in every night.
Sure.
You have to ensure the tracking app isn't accidentally swiped closed. You have to navigate a lock screen. When you hand an autistic individual a smartphone for safety, you're inadvertently making them responsible for maintaining the safety net.
Oh, wow. I hadn't thought about it that way.
Yeah. A dedicated tracker shifts that entire operational burden away from the wearer and places it squarely onto the caregiver's app. The device just exists on the body, functioning passively.
So it completely strips away the friction.
Exactly. And that dedicated ecosystem also changes who gets access to the data.
Well,
if an emergency happens, you can't easily share your kid's Apple ID credentials with a police dispatcher, right?
No, that would be a nightmare.
But with a dedicated caregiver app, you can instantly text a live encrypted tracking link to first responders or give temporary monitoring access to a teacher during a field trip.
That makes total sense, which I guess transitions us into the single biggest point of failure in assistive technology, which is the human element.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the most advanced AI-driven multi-network hardware in the world is effectively a paperweight if the person refuses to wear it.
Right. The tech is useless in a drawer.
And the assessment phase is where most families get it wrong, according to the source. If you're listening to this and you're currently researching devices, the guide makes it incredibly clear that you have to map the technology to the individual's specific sensory reality.
Yes, this is so crucial.
And we aren't just talking about, like, aesthetic preferences here. For many autistic individuals, sensory input is processed differently. Proprioceptive feedback, like how the body feels pressure and texture, can be hypersensitive.
Extremely hypersensitive.
So a stiff watch strap or a cold metal backing might not just be annoying, you know? It can be physically intolerable. They will experience it as pain and they will tear the device off.
Conversely, you also have to factor in their kinetic reality.
What do you mean by kinetic reality?
Well, if you have an individual who engages in heavy physical play jumping, spinning, or frequent repetitive movements, a flimsy consumer-grade clip is going to snap.
Right.
Or it's going to get knocked into the grass and lost on day one.
It's like buying a high-end sports car for a daily commute on dirt roads, right? It doesn't matter how powerful the engine is if it's the wrong tool for your specific lifestyle.
Exactly. And all of that movement brings us to the battery problem.
Oh, right. Because forcing a cellular modem to ping a satellite every 30 seconds has to use a massive amount of power.
It really does. It drains it fast.
Sure. But I was reading about how these devices manage this in the guide, and the engineering is brilliant. They use onboard three-axis accelerometers.
Yeah, the same sensors that tell your phone which way is up.
Right. So if the X, Y, and Z axes show zero kinetic movement, meaning, say, the child is sitting completely still at a desk in a classroom, the device's firmware recognizes the stationary state.
And it actually puts the GPS modem to sleep.
Yes. It stops pinging, it preserves the battery, and only wakes the modem back up the second the accelerometer detects the child is walking again.
It's an elegant solution to the physics of battery drain. But, you know, the sensory and battery issues are really just the wearer's side of the equation.
What about the caregiver's side?
The guide stresses we have to consider the caregiver's reality, too. When an elopement happens, the caregiver experiences a massive adrenaline dump.
Oh, pure panic.
Right. Fine motor skills degrade. Cognitive processing narrows. If the companion app requires you to navigate through, like, three submenus to activate a live tracking mode,
sailed.
It has absolutely failed. The user interface has to be completely foolproof during a panic attack.
Yeah, otherwise it's adding to the stress.
Exactly. Safety technology is a partnership. The device has to fit into your daily routine without adding to your stress. That's why features like an auto pickup speakerphone are so highly prioritized in the guide.
Auto pickup?
Yeah. If an autistic individual is in a state of sensory overload or having a meltdown, asking them to locate a small button to answer a call from a parent is an impossible demand.
Right, they're not going to do it.
Auto pickup bypasses that completely. The device automatically answers, opening a two-way audio channel. The caregiver's voice is just suddenly there, providing a familiar, calming anchor, while the caregiver can simultaneously listen to the ambient background noise to assess the environment.
That is incredible. Okay, so knowing all these highly specific human requirements, let's look at the actual hardware on the market. The source guide evaluates several categories, and it's clear that a lot of families start by trying to adapt existing consumer tech.
Yeah, repurpose tech.
Right, like they go for wearable smartwatches.
It's the most intuitive leap, honestly. You want something worn on the body, so you buy a device designed for the wrist.
And on paper, I mean, a smartwatch looks great. You get 4G or 5G cellular connectivity, two-way audio. They're relatively durable.
Right.
But as the guide points out, when you apply the autism filter, the structural flaws become glaring. Smartwatches are built for neurotypical users interacting with a bright OLED touchscreen.
Right, they're designed for engagement.
Exactly. Mm. They're running background operating systems, pedometers, heart rate monitors, notification centers. All of that software overhead absolutely nukes the battery life, meaning it cannot sustain that critical 30-second GPS refresh rate for a full school day.
Add to that the sensory nightmare of a sweaty silicone band tightly secured around the wrist.
Ugh. Yeah.
And the fact that interacting with the device requires fine motor dexterity that the user might not even possess.
Right. So what does this all mean? Are we essentially taking tools meant for marathon runners and trying to force them onto an autistic child?
That's a great way to look at it. There are huge trade-offs. The other category of repurposed tech families try are rugged outdoor units.
Okay. Like the Garmin stuff.
Yeah. Things originally built for backcountry hikers or the military. The appeal there is durability. They're virtually indestructible, they're waterproof,
yeah.
And because they don't use bright touchscreens, the battery can last for days or even weeks.
But think about the environment they were built for. A hiker is under an open sky. These rugged devices rely on massive internal antennas designed purely for satellite line of sight.
Exactly.
They rarely include the Wi-Fi fallback we talked about earlier. So if you put a rugged tracker on an autistic child in a concrete middle school,
they're going to disappear from the grid for 8 hours.
Completely. Plus, yeah. They are incredibly bulky.
They are. However, we shouldn't dismiss them entirely. It goes back to mapping the tech to the human. If you're a caregiver for an older, neurodivergent teenager who is highly active, loves hiking in rural areas, and doesn't have profound tactile sensitivities,
a rugged unit might be perfect.
It might be the exact right tool, but for a highly sensitive 7-year-old in a metropolitan area, it's an immediate failure point.
Okay, so since repurposed tech leaves so many operational gaps, we have to look at the extremes.
The opposite ends of the spectrum.
Right. Families often push toward one of two extremes, the absolute minimalist approach or the hyper-specialized approach. I looked closely at the minimalist side in the guide. Things like Apple AirTags or Tile Tracker.
Oh, yeah. Very common choice.
And I totally understand the temptation. You want to avoid sensory triggers entirely, so you buy a tiny plastic disc, throw it in the bottom of a backpack, and the kid doesn't even know it's there.
It is the path of least resistance.
But the blind spots are massive. You have to look at the engineering here. AirTags do not have a cellular modem. They do not have a GPS chip.
Right. People forget that.
They work by pinging a crowdsourced Bluetooth mesh network. They send out a tiny Bluetooth signal, basically just hoping a stranger's iPhone walks past, picks up the signal, and silently relays the location to the cloud.
Which is fine for luggage.
Exactly. If your loved one wanders into a crowded shopping mall, great. There are hundreds of iPhones around. But if they wander into a quiet park or a
large field.
Right. Or a wooded area behind your subdivision where there are no other smart devices within 30 feet, they drop off the map completely. You have zero real-time tracking when you need it most.
Not to mention, if the individual takes off their backpack and leaves it on a bench, you are now successfully tracking a canvas bag while the person is blocks away.
Exactly. It's like having a simple luggage tag. So here's where it gets really interesting. On the total opposite end of that spectrum is the hyper-specialized route.
Right.
The guy highlights Angel Sense as the prime example here. And the major differentiator isn't just a specific feature, it's the foundational intent.
Yeah, intent matters so much in design.
It wasn't adapted from a hiking tool or a fitness watch. It was engineered from the ground up, specifically for the autism community, to solve all the friction points we've been talking about.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, specialized systems remove the guesswork. When you design for a specific demographic, you solve problems the mass market tech companies don't even realize exist.
Yeah.
Look at how they address the physical wearing of the device.
Actually, this is where I wanted to push back a bit.
Okay, go for it.
The guide talks about their sensory-friendly wearables, which makes sense, you know, soft fabrics, rounded edges. But it also highlights that Angel Sense uses magnetic fasteners that require a special key for the caregiver to remove.
Yes.
Wait, a special key? That sounds borderline restrictive. If the device is physically locked onto the clothing, isn't there a significant safety risk there if the fabric gets caught on something?
It is a totally valid concern, and it's a real tension point between preventing elopement and physical safety. But the engineering answer is in the fabric itself, not just the lock.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The customized undershirts or sensory belts they provide have engineered breakaway points.
Oh.
If the device gets snagged on a fence, the fabric or the specific seam will fail and tear away before it causes physical injury to the wearer. The magnetic lock simply prevents the wearer from absent-mindedly removing the tracker during the day.
Which is a huge issue.
A massive issue for individuals who compulsively strip off irritating clothing. It secures the tech, but the garment itself respects the physics of an emergency snag.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. You're balancing the necessity of the device staying on with the reality of an active environment. And because the device is guaranteed to stay with the user, the software can do things that a loose AirTag in a backpack simply can't.
Exactly.
I have to say, the school bus monitoring feature blew my mind.
It profoundly changes the morning routine for caregivers.
It really does. Because it doesn't just show you a static dot moving down a road. By constantly calculating the delta between location pings, the device's processor can accurately extrapolate velocity. It knows exactly how fast the bus is moving. It gives you the live route and an estimated time of arrival based on current traffic. And if that bus suddenly stops for an extended period or takes a strange detour, the system pushes an alert.
And if you combine that velocity data with the auto pickup speakerphone we discussed earlier.
Oh, wow.
Right. If a school bus is delayed in traffic and you know the wearer gets highly anxious when routines are broken, the caregiver can trigger the live audio. You can instantly be in their ear, talking them through the delay, calming their nervous system without the wearer having to press a single button.
That is amazing. The caregiver effectively becomes a virtual presence in the vehicle.
It replaces panic with actionable intelligence. You don't have to constantly watch a dot on a screen. You have a system actively auditing the environment for anomalies.
And that reduces the chronic cortisol levels of the caregiver. You don't have to live your life in a state of low-level hypervigilance. The proactive alerts notify you only when the established baseline is broken, allowing you to breathe, to focus on work, to actually exist without constant fear.
Exactly.
Which brings us to the core takeaway for you listening today. Choosing the right GPS tracker in 2026 is not about pulling up a spreadsheet and buying the hardware with the longest list of technical specs.
No, not at all.
It is entirely about evaluating real-world usability. It's about asking, how does this device manage its own battery? Is the companion app intuitive for a user experiencing an adrenaline spike? And most importantly, does the physical hardware honor the daily tactile sensory reality of the person who actually has to wear it?
It has to be a dependable, invisible partner.
Right. It has to fit their life, not the other way around.
It absolutely does. But, you know, that invisibility brings up something you'll likely wrestle with long after we wrap up today.
What's that?
Well, as we move through 2026, this technology is becoming hyper-efficient. It's sensory friendly, it seamlessly integrates into clothing, it calculates velocity, and it can open a live microphone into any room.
Yeah, it's a marvel of safety engineering. It's incredibly powerful. But as the wearer ages, as a child grows into a teenager and then into an adult, where is the line between an invisible safety net and an invisible cage?
Wow, that's a heavy question.
It is. If you have a device that can see and hear everything seamlessly, how do caregivers balance their own profound, deeply valid need to know their loved one is safe with the individual's fundamental human right to privacy and unmonitored space?
Yeah.
Navigating the transition from total protection to dignified independence is a complex boundary that every family will eventually have to draw for themselves.
That is a fascinating tension, and it's exactly the kind of critical thinking we need as this tech integrates deeper into our lives. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We encourage you to keep asking those tough questions, evaluating the mechanics behind the marketing, and exploring the right solutions for your own family. Because ultimately, we just want to make sure the next time you turn around to that crowded transit hub, the technology actually has your back.